Joined at the hip, like lazy men and Medicare, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast suffering from seasonal affective disorder. And now, after a career spanning four decades, he is still Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Yes, it is the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am Doug Jones, as the announcer just said. That announcer, of course, is Drew McMillan, my Canadian nephew, one of my Canadian nephews. I have a passel of them. But anyway, welcome to another exciting episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I almost forgot to explain last time that this podcast is based on the information that you're going to find in the book that's on sale at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. The book is Medicare for the Lazy Man 2022, simplest and easiest guide ever. And it will answer the questions that you've had burning in your imagination about Medicare. What does it mean? What does Medicare force you to do? What has to be done to prepare for your entry into Medicare? And what are the best things to purchase to supplement Medicare? All of those questions will be answered. And frankly, after about an hour to an hour and a half of reading, depending on whether you move your lips when you read, you're going to know more than most of your friends. I would say virtually all of your friends, unless they've read the book too. So you will be a Medicare savant. And your friends and relatives will come to you for advice once they learn that you have the knowledge that you've gained from the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're lazy or that you're a man. I believe it just means that you're the kind of person that doesn't want to work too hard to gain the Medicare knowledge that's available to you. So what we do here is we try to make people feel comfortable about approaching that transition from Obamacare to Medicare. And you notice I said we. I use the third person, and that's because we have Randy Carson engineering this podcast, making it sound fantastic so that you're not put off by it. Hello, Randy. How are things for you today?
Good morning, Mr. Jones. I'm feeling great. How are you feeling?
Oh, I felt myself, and I think I feel pretty good. I'm porking up good. A little bit. I don't know. Ever since I got this book on the market and hooked up with you guys and started doing more Medicare and less garage work, I have actually gotten a little porkier, and I'm not happy about it. But frankly, I haven't taken the time or effort to do anything about it yet. So,
well, I tend to disagree on that, Doug.
Well, I don't know. Which part do you disagree with?
I think you could still slide underneath a door comfortably.
Oh, I'm telling you right now, half of my t-shirts don't fit the way they should. So I just think you're only seeing me from the chest up. That's what it is.
Maybe so. Well, did you see my t-shirt?
Average sucks. I'm not sure
average
what that means.
Sucks.
So you want to be worse than average or better than average?
It is better than average. It's a t-shirt that I got from one of our business coaches.
Oh,
I like yours better.
Route 66. Yeah, got a map.
I like that one better.
All the way across the country.
We got this from one of our business coaches. He wasn't a business coach. He was more of a personal lifestyle coach sort of a thing. And I got this from him because nobody wants to be average.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody wants to be better than average. So we came out of there after this was like a 3 or 4 day seminar.
Wow.
And out of my $8 million I spent, I got a t-shirt that says average sucks. And I figured that out in the first 10 minutes.
Well, yeah. Geez, did you get a refund at all for the rest of the cost? Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. No.
I might have suggested that only one of you go so that you could cut your cost in half.
Well, there is that. Yeah, we didn't take the appropriate course of action when we signed up. That's for sure. Mm. So we don't have that business coach anymore. Well, actually, we do. We don't actively involve ourselves with the organization anymore. But one of the things we managed to get with our $4 million was a lifetime membership.
Oh, so boy, that's fantastic.
You never know. I may get another T-shirt here saying one of these days it says average still sucks.
Well, I hope if you read the fine print in that contract that it doesn't say T-shirts extra. I hope your future T-shirts are included. Man,
that would really be the straw that broke the camel's back.
That would be very sucky average, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I got to tell you, maybe it's wrong. Maybe it's I'm a little too critical, but every time I see a life coach, you know, somebody advertising themselves as a life coach or something like that, I say to myself, there's somebody that lost a job and doesn't really want to get another job. And so they become a life coach. I'm just a little skeptical that any money spent in that direction is going to be helpful. And I think you might have confirmed you got the fancy T-shirt, but
I got where else could I have gotten this T-shirt?
Did you get anything else of value for your $4 million?
Yeah, it was a good seminar. It's this particular individual is, I'm kind of a skeptic like you are, but after I got through his program and we've been involved with the organization at an arm's length for quite a few years now, he is an incredible individual. What he has had problems with over the years is he's the only one that can pull it off. He's one of these guys I can't think of the guy's name. Zig Ziglar, those kind of guys.
Sure.
Okay. Well, as soon as you get an organization built around an incredibly dynamic individual like that, which is what this individual is he's incredibly dynamic, but you can't leverage it. You know, there's no more Zig Ziglars in the world.
yeah. Or you can't leverage it. Or another term that I hear them use on Shark Tank all the time is you can't scale it.
Yeah, you can't scale it. Can't leverage it. Can't do anything to it. But in this particular case, this guy really is an incredibly dynamic individual. Yeah. If I had half of the energy this guy has, I could power California.
You're making me tired just thinking about it. But I got to tell you, my grandfather was like that. My grandfather was constantly working, thinking, executing, meeting new people. And when he wasn't socializing, playing golf, or making new acquaintances, he was dictating. He had a dictaphone microphone in his hand at all times, and he'd walk around and hit the hold button and say, "Hi, Doug, how you doing?" And then he'd continue on with paragraph three of the letter to Mr. So-and-so. And that guy was work, 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 and success, success, success. Just a dynamic guy like you're describing here. And of course, dropped dead at age 64. So maybe that tells you about
there is that problem. But I guess the fact of the matter is, do you think he enjoyed that, or did he? Do you think he was one of these kind of guys that didn't know what else?
I think he lived for three things, and one of them was my grandmother, because they were deeply in love, and of course their single child, their only child was my mother. One of the other things he lived for was golf. So he arranged it so that he had two businesses in Illinois and two businesses in Arizona. So in Illinois, he lived stayed in Illinois in the summertime. He lived in the manager's suite at the Glenview Club in Golf, Illinois. That's a northwest suburb of Chicago.
In Golf, Illinois?
Yes, that's the name of the town, Illinois.
Gee, I wonder what they do there.
And it's a magnificent club. It's just fantastic. I spent a large part of every summer there when I was a kid. And then, of course, he would come to Arizona. And I would come out in the winter when I was a little kid and hang around on dude ranches. Right, the one that we lived in every winter was located where the Phoenician is now. And I spent all winter riding horses, playing tennis, swimming, and just having a ball. So I loved Arizona, of course, because I thought Arizona was like recess every day.
You didn't have to
work. But my grandfather went back and forth, and he would stop off someplace and see old friends. Oh, here's what he did. He to answer your question, he worked because he loved to work, and he was good at it. He helped so many people start off on lucrative careers. He really started a lot of people on the path to success, which made him successful in the meantime. But I think I may have told this story before, but when we went to Florida, it was 1958, and I was 10 years old, and we were going down to stay for a month for a John Hancock convention. And so we started off, and I was riding with my grandparents in their 1957 Lincoln Continental. And this thing, you know, there were no freeways to speak of back then. And we rode on the Chicago Skyway when it first opened up. I have a window sticker to this day that says a Chicago Skyway pioneer. But mostly that car would just be drinking gasoline. We'd have to stop for gas. And so now, because the marginal income tax rates were up in the between 70 and 90% back in those days, you had to make sure that everything you touched was deductible. At least that's what my grandfather did, because he made a ton of money and the government wanted to take all of it in the form of income taxes. So he had to make sure that everything he did was deductible. One way to do that on a long motor trip across the country, he had the retirement plan for all of the chambers of commerce in the United States. I remember in the office, there was a big giant map with a bunch of pins in it, you know, every chapter. So what would happen was we'd pull into a gas station, and of course the pump jockey would come on, fill her up, sir. Yes. Yeah, you check the oil and, you know, clean the windshield and all that stuff. And so he would carry his bulging briefcase over to the nearest payphone booth. And as you know, all gas stations had payphone booths back then. And so he'd get on the phone, on the booth, on the telephone, and call the local chamber of commerce and chit chat with him on the telephone. Meanwhile, my grandmother would be sitting in the passenger seat of the car, and she would get her credit card ready. And when the pump jockey came over, she would hand it to him, and he would run it through the imprinter and come back with the little clipboard with her credit card stuck in a slot. And she would sign her name on and the thing, and then hand it back to him. And he would hand her the credit card and the receipt. And she would take those things, and they would exchange pleasantries. Then she would lean over and just lay on the horn, just honk that horn until my grandfather could not converse anymore. What do you want? What are you doing? Hurry up. I'm tired of sitting here. It was that was the end of his productive conversation, but it was enough for the IRS. So they said, yes, all of your trip expenses are deductible because you were checking in with all of your clients along the route. And that's one way he would make sure that he wasn't overpaying his income taxes.
Well, it sounds like he thoroughly enjoyed what he did.
Absolutely. And frankly, I got to hand it to him for going in a way that is kind of remarkable. I mean, you don't want to get a bad disease diagnosis and have to live with that. We just had a friend die recently who had a brain tumor, and she knew for over a year that it was inoperable. And you hate to think about that. Well, my grandfather was at a John Hancock convention in Canada, and he was in a room full of his old friends and peers at a, you know, cocktail gathering. And he sat down on a couch next to my grandmother. He was holding her hand in one hand and his drink in the other hand. And he fell asleep, as he always did. He was always falling asleep at inappropriate times. And she just said, uh-oh, as you know, something has changed. And he had died right there, surrounded by his friends and holding his wife's hand. So that, you know, it's sad that he went so soon at age 64, but it was a kind of a classy way to check out, I think.
What better way to do it?
Yeah, no pain.
No pain. Sitting there at a party with all your friends, you got a drink, you're holding your sweetie's hand. What else can you wish for?
Yeah, he was a classy guy, and frankly, he checked out the right way. So he's always been an example to me for that, for his whole life, really. And the reason Mary's always telling me, well, you should explain to people why you spent so much time with your grandparents. Well, the reason was that my mother came down with polio right when the Salk vaccine came out. And so she was sick a lot when I was a kid. And Therefore, my grandparents said, well, we'll take Doug and we'll just drive across the country. We'll ride the Santa Fe Super Chief out to Arizona, you know, and spend the winter. So I spent a lot of time with my grandparents while my mother recovered her health, which she eventually did.
That's a great story. I love those kind of stories. You're full of great stories. Well, you know what we got to do now?
Yeah, Medicare. But this is cool.
We got to do some work.
I thought this would be a red letter day because it's episode 351, and I scheduled a mailbag episode. So I got a few pieces of correspondence from people, and I think maybe that will, you thought up the rationale for this. When somebody has a question and they write in and they ask me a question, there's really speaking for a lot of other people that might have the same question in mind, but haven't reached out to contact us. So this is doing double duty, I would guess, when I take care of some of this correspondence. So let me just, the one that floats to the top first is not always the best one, but I guess I'll start there. So this is from one of my clients who lives in Illinois, and I got to figure out why I saved this. And I normally number the paragraph so I know what order to read this in, but he says, can you please tell me or advise me how to find out about coverage on my United American Supplemental Insurance Plan, high deductible G, relating to travel, foreign and domestic? We plan on doing some traveling this year, he and his wife. His wife, as I recall, is covered by TRICARE for life through a former husband's military service. And so basically, he and his wife are going to travel, but she's not my client, only the husband is. So I answered him, hello, John. I said, your Medicare supplement, as well as all other Medicare supplements, is good everywhere in the United States and all United States possessions. The same holds true for Medicare Parts A and B. And then I said, your particular Medicare supplement has a foreign travel emergency benefit. After a $250 deductible, this benefit pays 80% of the cost of medical treatment in a foreign country. The lifetime maximum is $50,000. Happy travels. So he didn't say that was confusing. So I'm guessing that was a succinct and clear answer to his question about coverage under his Medicare supplement for foreign travel. So here is another person. It's entitled New Client, and this person's name is Howard. So he wrote me and said, read the Medicare for the Lazy Man book. I'm 64 years old. I turned 65 in January of 2023. I'm interested in Medicare Parts A and B and High Deductible Plan G. Here's my zip code. And here's the town and state that I live in, Howard. Now, that's a business-like guy, very succinct. He said, I want to sign up with you for Medicare ancillary coverages to be instituted, actually, almost like 10 months from when he wrote this. And so I said, hello again, because I think this wasn't the first time he contacted me. So I said, hello again, Howard. Attached is a chart showing the high deductible plan G rates for the three highly rated companies I use in your state. As you probably noticed, the best rate by far is from my favorite company, United American. That's $32 a month. This is a company I strongly recommend due to its history of excellent customer service and rate stability. United American is not always a household name, so I've also attached their brochure for some additional information. Also attached is a projection of the least costly prescription drug plan. There is no guarantee that something significant won't change between now and the end of the year, so I should do this search once more in late October or November to make sure that this plan that I've shown you is still the best selection. So on or about October 1st, you should start your online application with Medicare Parts A and B. At the same time, I can do the application for your high deductible plan G Medicare supplement. And then near November 1st, we should do the prescription drug plan comparison one more time just to make sure that I'm showing you the least costly available plan. I said, do you have any questions or concerns? Please let me know. So then he wrote, thank you very much for this information regarding the drug coverage. Can you please explain? It looks like the premiums average $8 a month. What does the $1,000 plus after each of the options refer to? Is that an annual deductible and max out of pocket? And how much will it cost for each monthly refill? I don't really understand how this works. Please explain in some detail. And I said, Howard, normally, I don't pay a lot of attention to the cost projection results on these plans, but since you are a curious guy, I printed 11 pages of plan detail, which is attached to this message. And then I realized that I had missed something I should have noticed on the second page of the printout. Your drug is not covered by this, the very cheapest option among all of the available plans. In fact, that drug, if that drug is covered by any of the other plans sold, another one, my pest control guy is banging around in the corner of the house outside. So he's hopefully killing insects. That's what I hire him for. Anyway, then I realized that I had missed something. I should have noticed on the second page of the printout, your drug is not covered by this, the very cheapest plan of all optional plans. In fact, if that drug is covered by any of the other plans sold in your county, it still wouldn't pay to get another one since your costs would be even greater, meaning that the plan that we were looking at, even though it's not going to pay for his drug, is still the cheapest plan available. Then I said, card like Good RX or something like that. And then you would only be paying the cost of the drug with the discount plus the monthly plan premium of $7.50. What you get for that ongoing plan premium is avoidance of the lifetime late enrollment penalty. Let me know if I can do more to help out. And then he wrote, thanks for the information. I have never been able to figure out what the risks of not having a Part B are. I am not too worried about x-rays and inpatient costs, and I'm not someone who has a lot of faith in the medical system. So there's not too much I would visit the hospital for unless absolutely necessary. All of that said, if not having a Part B of Medicare means I would not be able to get Part G or the high deductible plan G, then I would definitely want it. Can you give me an example, worst case scenario, of a serious illness like cancer with no Part B coverage, so I can better assess the risk versus reward of foregoing Part B? Thanks for your patient help. And therefore, I responded. I said, hi again, Howard. You and I are in complete agreement when it comes to having too much insurance. This is why I always look for the high deductible plans first. I'm willing to share some of the risk to keep the costs under control. If nothing bad happens, I will have saved a bunch of money in lower insurance premiums. And if I have a really bad year, my downside risk is limited, so I will only have to pay a portion of the unexpected charges. So Part A covers inpatient, hospital, nursing home, and hospital expenses, but it is free of charge if you have 10 years of taxable earnings. Part B is in your thoughts because it has a monthly cost of $170.10 this year. Part B covers all kinds of outpatient medical expenses that Part A doesn't cover. Many different kinds of tests, surgery, durable medical equipment, and on and on. Here's the rub. Part B only covers 80% of those expenses, and the risk is endless. There is no stop loss. I heard an expert once say that it has been calculated that if everything that might go wrong actually did go wrong, the charges billed to the patient who didn't have Part B would add up to $900,000 in a given year. Highly unlikely, but remotely possible. You can't have a Medicare supplement without having Medicare. There would be nothing to supplement. So Part B will pay 80% after a small annual deductible, and your supplement, your high deductible plan G, will pay that 20% of your charges if they rise to about $12,400 or so during the year. The high deductible plan G kicks in if your expenses are large enough to protect you from the risk of a very large loss. Again, unlikely, but a risk worth thinking about, in my opinion. I hope that helps. And Howard wrote back and said, thank you, Doug. Great information. Sounds like Part B and Part G high deductible is the way to go. So that's what I'll apply for in October. From my understanding, if I have both of these programs, my maximum risk per year is around $12,400. Is that correct? Off the topic, or maybe not, I'm a reverse mortgage specialist in California with several hundred clients, and some people use them to self-fund nursing home care. If you think there may be an opportunity for us to share California referrals, please let me know, and I'll reply with some information. And I said, actually, your maximum risk would be $2,490, not $12,400. And that's if all of your treatment was covered by Part B, and this limit would be reached only if your total outpatient expenses exceeded $12,400 in a given year. The government changes these numbers every year, but my wife and I have been on Medicare plus a high deductible supplement for a long time, and I have never regretted it. I would love to help out any of your clients that are interested in Medicare, including those that might want to dump their overly expensive Plan F or overly restrictive Medicare Advantage plans. I am licensed in California, all states actually, and have several happy clients there. Always hoping for more. So that was Howard and I having an exchange, helping him understand that he better take both Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B in order to be able to buy the very inexpensive high deductible Plan G. And I can see by the old clock on the wall that I might have actually kind of hit the wall time-wise. What do you think, Randy?
No.
No? I can keep
going.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, Medicare isn't all that much fun, is it?
We went right through the fuel that we had allotted for this particular episode. We went right through the fuel quite a few minutes ago. But as always, I don't like to stop you because I always learn something as we're going through this. So for example, previous episode, I learned something and I learned something. Every week I learned something.
That's very rewarding for me to hear because I don't do this just to have fun. You know, I do it because I'm hoping it helps people figure out Medicare.
Now, I will point out, you know, on Doug's behalf, that he is one of the most patient souls about teaching me things that I've ever met in my life. When we first started working together, pretty close to 3 years ago now.
Well, actually, I met you in the spring of 2018. So I think we're just... Yeah. Yeah. We crossed our fourth anniversary this past spring.
Okay. So then for the next, year, he would pick up the phone and go, Doug, tell me about Plan A again. What is that?
Yeah. Well, we tried a whole lot of different things to satisfy people's need for help in enrolling in Medicare. And none of my stupid ideas worked. And so eventually Randy... And his lovely bride helped me figure out the best way to do it, which is they went off to Ireland to sample Guinness all over the country and forced me to sit down because I had a lot of free time to write the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man. That turns out to have been the most effective way to help people understand Medicare. It's a quick, easy read that explains about 95% of all the Medicare factual information most people are ever going to need. So I got to thank Randy for leading me to that horse trough and forcing me to drink.
Well, you know, to your point, Doug, it has turned out as you know, to be kind of the linchpin to this whole process.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember those days when we told people to go to hell? Would you help me? Would you sell me the insurance I need? No.
No.
Why? What? When did we ever think that was a good idea?
Not so much. But I think we got a pretty smooth operation now. It could always be better, but Obviously Doug works on it all the time. He's very judicious about making sure the pipes are, working well and everything's greased. But anyway, I just wanted to let him know that I appreciate his patience with.
Well, you're very kind.
Dragging a software guy into the insurance world.
Well, listen, I just dragged you into my confusion when I asked you moderate the volume on my headphones. And it took you and Margaret probably a half an hour to get me to the right spot to click on something that quieted the headphones down.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we're here for. No doubt about it. So anyway, Thank you, Doug. I'm going to move on. We need to kind of close out the episode here. We're running short of fuel, but there's a couple things that we already mentioned, you know, the books, right? We talked about the paperback, the green 2022 version, the audio, the Kindle, everything that you could possibly want to listen to the Medicare book that Doug wrote is available to you. You can get a hardcover. You can get a color version. You can get just about anything you want, right?
That's so far. I'm thinking of more things to give people that want more Medicare knowledge. So someday we'll have even more versions.
Absolutely. So last thing I'm going to ask the folks is write Doug. He loves to hear from you at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. And in the meantime, he's going to be waiting for you in his fortress of solitude and high in the mountains above Cave Creek, Arizona. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes listening to Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, originally from Oklahoma, but in Cave Creek now, watching over the town to make sure that everything goes well. Doug Jones.
Bye-bye.